Thank you once again to our brother Nigel for singing. We trust the Lord will bless that message to every heart. What a warning. There is a deadline. We know not when, we know not where. Friend, God says in His Word that my spirit shall not always strive with man. If you're not saved, know that you would heed the striving of the Spirit of God. You would seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. We thank our brother for coming. Trust the Lord will bless him and continue to use him for His honour and glory, and bless his wife and family and meet their every need just day by day. Now we're turning again, please, to that chapter we read from earlier, to Galatians chapter number 3. The third chapter of the book of Galatians. God's word open before us. Let us bow together just in a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering tonight. We thank Thee for the gospel hymns and the messages in song. We pray, Lord, that there'll be none that will, as it were, halt between two opinions. There'll be none who will pass over God's deadline. But oh, that each and every one in this gathering would be saved and washed in the blood of Christ and saved for time and for eternity. We thank the Lord that we're in the day of grace, that we're in the day of opportunity. But realize, O God, that whenever death comes, all these opportunities are gone. The Lord, impress upon hearts and lives and souls tonight unseen of the need to prepare to meet God. Bless us now as we turn to Thy Word, O God, and give help and give enablement and give wisdom and give all that is needed for the declaration of Thy Word. And Lord, use Thy Word, O God, this night to make souls wise unto salvation. May the Word be accompanied with the power of God the Holy Ghost to every heart. Use Thy Word to the blessing of every child of God. And Lord, use Thy Word this night to the glorifying of Christ, our Redeemer. Abide with us. Cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. And give help and wisdom and enablement and direction and liberty in the preaching, Lord, of Thy Word. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for this evening I want to look at is the verse number 13 of Galatians and the chapter 3. Let us just read that verse with you again. It says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. In the Galatian church, false doctrine had crept in. People had become deceived into thinking that their own good works or their own self-righteousness contributed to their salvation. Therefore, to put matters right, Paul the Apostle writes this letter that was read from this evening to the church at Galatia. And in writing this letter in the opening verse of chapter 3, he reproves this people. And he tells them that it is folly for anyone to turn away from the gospel of Christ. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you. Paul was one who preached the message of Christ crucified. He had set that message before the people of Galatia that there were those who had turned away from it. He says it was a matter of folly. It was as if they were bewitched by another ungodly spirit. Yes, he reproves them for turning away from the gospel. And he goes on then in this chapter to show to them that justification is by faith alone in Christ alone. And whenever we talk about justification, that really means a sinner knowing the pardon of all of their sins and then being accepted, or if you like, reconciled with God, their Maker. If you look at verse number 6 of the chapter there, you see how Paul highlights the example there of Abraham's justification by faith in Christ. And Abraham, as you know, lived at the very beginning of time, way back in the Genesis period. And he says of Abraham there in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then in verses 10 and 11, you'll see there how Paul
reminds the Galatians that no one can be justified in God's sight by the works of the law. He says there in verses 10 and 11, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And there you see how Paul makes it abundantly clear that a sinner can only be justified by faith before God. He says there, the just shall live by faith. And then when we come to verse 13, the words of our text this evening, Paul goes on there to highlight the ground, or if you like, the foundation, whereby a sinner can be justified in the sight of God. And the ground of their justification, as Paul says there in verse number 13, is the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. He says there, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Paul makes it very clear that it was only through the redeeming work of Christ alone upon the cross that such could be saved and justified and made right with God. And friends, tonight for a little while, it is this subject of redemption by Christ, the redeeming work of Christ, that I want you to think of in our gospel meeting tonight. For just as the people of Paul's day and the people of Galatia to whom he wrote this letter, just as they needed to trust in the redeeming work of Christ for their salvation, so it is still the same for all today. It was the same, yes, for the people of Galatia in the day of Paul. It was the same for Abraham and the people who lived in his day at the dawn of time. And it is still the same for all today, and will be the same until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again in power and in great glory. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you are still not saved, then friend, it is this redeeming work of Christ that you must trust in, that you must rest in alone for your salvation. As we look then at this verse before us, there are four things that I want you to note, and very simply and briefly, regarding the redeeming work of Christ. First of all, I want you to see here man's need of redemption by Christ. If you look at verse 13 there, you see how in the middle of that verse, Paul speaks there about the curse of the law. He says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Think of those words, the curse of the law. And my man needs redemption. Why? Because he is under the curse of the law. And this curse of the law, it refers to God's judgment upon all who break His Ten Commandments that are summarized and summed up for us in the moral law of God. You look at what Paul says there at the end of verse number 10 of the same chapter. He says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And my all mankind is under the curse of the law, for all have broken God's law. The Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, every single one of us in this meeting have broken God's law. Therefore, every one of us were born into this world under the curse of the law. Friend, if you are still not saved, let me say this. The curse of the law still abides upon you. It still rests upon you. You see, the only sinless person ever to walk the scene of time was Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Christ was sinless. Christ was spotless. But you and I and all the rest of mankind have sinned. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, please understand that it is an awful thing for you to be under the curse of God. Yes, someone may curse you,
person in the scene of time may curse you. But that is nothing to being under the curse of God. For what does the curse of the law mean? What does the curse of God mean? It means banishment from God. It means separation from the presence of God. The most awful thing that can ever befall a soul or a man is to be under the curse of God. You think of Cain away at the beginning of time. In the book of Genesis, and you read there of Cain in Genesis chapter 4, that he was under the curse of God for his sin. And this is what the Bible says about Cain, and it is a solemn statement. It says this: Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain was severed from God. Cain was cut off from God because the curse was upon him for his sin. Oh, friend, unsaved, please realize this is how it is with you presently. Your unsaved condition. Yes, you are under the curse of the law. My, you are cut off from God. Yes, outwardly your life may appear religious, but before God you're cut off from God, as separated from God with the curse of the law upon you. And if you die in this state, let me say this, that the curse of God's law will abide upon you forever and ever in hell. That place, that awful place of eternal punishment for sin. The curse will be your eternal portion if you die in this state, and its duration will never cease. That curse will never be removed. It will never be taken away. Now, the Bible speaks of all who meet God in the day of judgment under the curse of the law. And it says, of such who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It speaks there of everlasting destruction, an eternal curse. Turn with me in your Bible back to Mark's Gospel and to the chapter number 9. And look at the end of that chapter, verses 43 down to the end of verse number 48. And here the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking, and he warns you of the eternal duration of this curse in hell if you die in your sin. And he does so no less than 6 times in these few verses. Look at verse 43 there of Mark chapter 9. Christ is speaking, he says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. Notice it, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 46, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. There in the space of those few verses, from the very lips of Christ, the Son of God, my, you are warned of the duration of this awful curse upon you. If you die in your sin, you'll be forever lost in hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Friend, unsaved tonight, please see and please understand. Oh, that God would take the scales from off your eyes and that you would see your need. Yes, you need redemption. Why? Because as Paul says here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, you're under the curse of the law. Yes, we see here man's need of the redeeming work of Christ. But notice secondly from our verse, notice God's way of redemption through Christ. What is that way? Look at what Paul says in the opening words of our verse. He says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Notice what he goes on to say, being made a curse for us.
For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And those words there, they speak to us of Christ's death upon the cross of Calvary. That was a substitutionary death. On the cross of Calvary, Christ bore God's judgment for guilty sinners, like you and I in this meeting. The Bible says his own self bare our sins in his own body to the tree. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. Maybe you're out shopping and somebody comes along, and somebody in the place working where you shop, and they offer to carry your groceries, the burden of the groceries, to your car and help you. And my friend, so on the cross of Calvary, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He bore the full weight of God's judgment for our sin upon himself. The Bible says, of God he hath made him to be sin for us. That means he took the judgment of our sin upon himself on the cross. On the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ he suffered. On the cross he bled. On the cross he died. Yes, through the actions of sinful man, but also on the cross, God the Father turned away his presence from Christ. That is why Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And on the cross, God the Father poured out his judgment upon his Son, that judgment that we deserve for our sins. You turn in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament. And you'll read of this for yourself. As Isaiah the prophet speaks prophetically of the cross of Christ. Look at verses 4 and 5 and verse 10 of Isaiah 53. He says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Look at the end of verse 6. It says, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. For he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Cross of Calvary, the curse of God came upon him. The darling of his bosom, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The judgment of God fell upon Christ, a God's holy Lamb. And in that sacrifice, he satisfied the justice of God, the holiness of God. And he provided a way for the redemption. Sinful, lost, ruined man. The Bible speaks of Christ and it says, for Christ also have once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Friend, I urge you tonight to view Christ upon the cross. View Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, nailed to the Roman cross. See his suffering upon the cross. See his agony upon the cross. See his shame. See his blood shedding upon the cross. View his death upon the cross. See the giving up of the ghost upon the cross. See his amazing love and dying for sinners upon the cross. Friend, what do you see when you view Christ, the Lamb of God, upon the cross? You see the fulfillment of this great truth that Paul preached in our text. When he speaks of Christ being made a curse for us. A brother was singing of it earlier on in the meeting. Singing of Christ, he said, see from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. That ere such love and sorrow meet, or forms compose, so rich a crown. Oh, view Christ upon the cross. View the crown of thorns that were beat into his brow. View the hands and the feet that were pierced. View the side that was pierced and the blood flowing. There you see Christ, the Lamb of God, being made a curse for us. You know, under the old Mosaic law of the Old Testament, any person who was hanged on a tree
was deemed accursed of God. You turn your Bible back there to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and you'll see this for yourself. Deuteronomy 21. And look at verses 22 and verse 23 of the chapter. And it says here, Moses is speaking. He says, if a man hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged, notice it, is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Anyone who was hanged upon the tree was accursed of God. And thus, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was hanged and crucified to the wooden cross upon the hill of Calvary, what was it a sign of? That he was accursed of God. That he was forsaken of God. As it says there at the end of our text there in verse 13 of Galatians chapter 3, for cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Now the cursing here of the Son of God was in God's plan. And wasn't God's love that a way might be made for the redemption of sinners like you and I? Christ was a curse that sinners like you and I could be saved, delivered from the curse of our sin and from the curse of the law that was upon us. Yes, we see man's need of the redeeming work of Christ. We see God's way of redemption through Christ. But thirdly tonight, I want you to see the beneficiaries of the redeeming work of Christ. Who are the beneficiaries of that work? You know, there are many people, and they imagine because Christ has died upon the cross, that all mankind will be saved and that all will be redeemed. There are those, and they speak about a universal salvation for all. But I want you to be clear tonight that there is no such teaching in the Word of God. There is no warrant for that teaching in God's truth, because Christ here on earth spake of those who would be saved. He spake of those who would be lost. He spake of many being on the broad road to destruction and few being on the narrow way to eternal life. In our text tonight in verse 13, Paul says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Who are the us there that he speaks of? That little word, us, there refers solely to God's redeemed people. Who are God's redeemed people? God's redeemed people on earth are those who have repented of their sin. Those who have acknowledged their need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before God. Just like the old publican when he cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Such, yes, acknowledge their need as a sinner before God. Such repent of their sin. And such are those on earth who trust in the redeeming work of Christ alone for their salvation. That's how it was with Paul. Speaking of Christ, he said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Turn back a chapter to Galatians chapter 2 in the verse 20. And Paul there speaks of his faith in Christ for salvation. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Notice it, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was trusting in the redeeming work of Christ for his salvation. Friend, if you are to partake of God's way of redemption through Christ, if you are to become a beneficiary of this great redeeming work of Christ, then you must come before God and take the place of a repentant sinner before God. You must acknowledge your need as a lost sinner before God. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And in repenting and acknowledging your sin, you must come in faith to Christ. And rest alone, trust in the finished work of Christ alone for your salvation, for your redemption. The hymn writer says, my faith has found a resting place not in device nor creed,
but in the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. They were trusting the redeeming work of Christ. Turn your Bible back to John's Gospel in the chapter number 1 and the verse number 12. There you see the mark of the redeemed people of God. It says in verse 12 of John chapter 1, it says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." That means those who trust in Christ, who trust in his finished work, in his sacrifice alone for their salvation. Friend, is that you tonight? Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, is that how it is with you? Are you resting on Christ? Are you trusting in the finished work of Christ upon the cross for your salvation? It is only through faith in that work alone that you can be saved, that you can be redeemed and justified before God. Yes, the beneficiaries of Christ's redeeming work. Man's need of his redeeming work, God's way of redemption through Christ. But one final thought I want you to note, and it is simply this: the blessings of God's redeeming work through Christ. Friend, whenever you trust in the redeeming work of Christ upon the cross, notice what it says in our text. Don't pass by it. It says you are redeemed from the curse of the law. For notice what Paul says. He says, Christ hath redeemed us. Paul was sure about this. From the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That word redeemed really means to purchase. It means to be set free. And by faith in the redeeming work of Christ, you are set free. That's what Paul is saying. You are delivered from the curse of the law. You're set free. And by that redemption from the curse of the law, it means the forgiveness of all of your sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It means deliverance from the penalty of your sin in hell. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The hymn writer could say, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him my living head." They knew they were safe from the wrath to come because Christ was their Redeemer. Their trust was in Christ. Now when you put your trust in Christ, he'll save you from the wrath to come. Now in July 1941, that awful concentration camp of Auschwitz, a man's life was saved because another took his place. Another went to the gas chamber in this place. Another became a substitute. And friend, whenever you trust in the redeeming work of Christ upon the cross for salvation, you too will be saved from a lost eternity and sure of heaven. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life." Yes, the forgiveness of sins. Saved from the wrath to come. Sure of heaven. This redemption also means being indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. For notice there what Paul says at the end of verse 14 in Galatians chapter 3. He says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God will enable you when you're saved to die to self and to die to sin and to live day by day to his honor and glory and to serve him by your life and by your witness. Then in being redeemed also, you're brought out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the devil's kingdom, brought into God's kingdom, brought into God's family. Go over there to chapter number 4, the same book. Look at verses 4 and 5 as Paul speaks further there of the redeeming work of Christ. He says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his forth a son made of a woman, made under the law." Notice it. "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." My, when you're redeemed, you're brought into God's family. You are adopted into the family of God. And in God's family, God becomes your heavenly Father. The curse is removed. The judgment is taken away because it was born away in Christ. God becomes your loving heavenly Father, not only for time,
but for all of God's eternity. And as your heavenly Father, He will meet your every need. And He will guard and guide and keep you until the end of life's journey. Until He calls you home to heaven. Until the Lord Himself comes in power and in great glory. Is it any wonder at the beginning of this chapter that Paul said it was a foolish thing for anyone to turn away from Christ and the gospel of Christ? And friend, it is folly to reject the redeeming work of Christ for salvation. It is folly for you to trust in some other way of man or man's devising. I tell you, it is wise for you to trust in Christ as your Savior. It is wise for you to rest upon His redeeming work alone for salvation, that you might be saved and redeemed from the curse of the law, that you might be brought into the family and fold of God, know your sins forgiven, be saved from the wrath to come, and be sure of heaven. What are you going to do with Christ tonight? Are you going to reject Him? Going to turn away from Him just like those in Galatia in the day of Paul? Or will you follow the example of Paul? Will you trust Him? Will you embrace Him by faith to be your Savior? And rest upon Him alone for your salvation and your redemption. Oh, don't go away tonight without the Lord. But come to Him and trust Him. And know His redeeming power in your life. And know His blessing and His grace. And the great hope of life eternal through faith in the blood of the Lamb.